Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for joining us today. On this week's program, we'll hear from Kelly Lenny, co-founder of Friends of Craft Hemp Flower, and we'll also get some Midwest Hemp Council webinar and development details from executive director and co-founder of the Midwest Hemp Council, Jamie Campbell Petty. So let's get things started with Kelly Lenny, co-founder of Friends of Craft Hemp Flower, and Kelly is located in Memphis, Indiana. Kelly, how you doing today?
Good. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing fine. You know, I've been to Memphis, but I don't know that I've ever been to Memphis, Indiana. Where is Memphis, Indiana actually located?
We're about 15 miles north of Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay, 15 miles north of Louisville, so not too bad. Where would this be? So this would probably be northwest of Louisville, or is it direct north?
Direct north at 65. There's a high school that we went to in Henryville, Indiana, that had got hit by the tornado in 2012, so people may remember that. So we're about 3 miles south of there.
I think that's amazing because I'd never heard of Henryville, Indiana until those tornadoes. And after that, I think anytime anybody hears the name Henryville, it's kind of famous or infamous, I guess, for those tornadoes. And that's a very sad thing to be infamous for.
A little bit. You see the bus that went into the restaurant and it kind of image sticks with you.
Right. I can imagine. So now on the farm in Memphis, Indiana, last year, you guys, it was your first year for growing hemp. Tell us what got you excited about hemp and what got the Lenny family involved in the hemp industry.
Yeah, of course. So we have lived on, actually, I grew up on our farm. So I've been here my whole life and we've always thought, we could grow something here other than for ourselves. And hemp was something that brought an interest to us because we had been looking into living a little bit more holistically with our pets initially, looking at some alternative medicine, and we have a holistic vet. So we have one of our dogs that has issues with tumors, and so CBD was something that we were looking into for him. But then kind of just led to other things and found out that Indiana was legalizing it to grow last year. So it's something we want to get in on.
Now, when we call you farmers, do you grow any other crops?
No, we do not. Okay, mostly horse pasture, and we still work full-time jobs. So
okay,
we're pretty
small. Gotcha. So how many acres or how much land did you devote to your hemp growing last year?
Last year we did less than a quarter acre, and then this year we're going to do the 1 acre minimum.
That's not the first time I've heard somebody say that their pet was the reason that they got interested in hemp and actually became then growers and producers of that. Did it help your dog?
Yes. Yeah, it has really subsidized his irritation with his tumors, and I really haven't expanded or gotten worse, and it does help with his ailments that he has going on. So yeah, it's been working out pretty good for him.
Well, that's fantastic. Those are the stories we love to hear and that we love to share here on the Midwest Hemp Council podcast. Now, Kelly, along with your husband, Joe, you guys, as you said, were growing last year. You're expanding a little bit this year, probably doing the smart thing, starting small and working your way up. But you've also got some other interest going out there, and one of those is for everybody that's interested in hemp, not only in Indiana, but the Midwest. You, along with Joe, have founded Friends of Craft Hemp Flower. Explain what that is and tell us what you guys do.
Yes, so we started a GoFundMe, Friends of Craft Hemp Flower. There's currently litigation going on in Indiana, so not all hemp products are created equal, unfortunately. So something we found out as we went into harvest, what were we going to do with our crops? So we ended up self-processing and with looking into going into the craft hemp flower market, but due to the litigation going on, we saw that as possibly a risk that, you know, what if going into 2020, it became illegal, and then where are we going to go from there? We could always, you know, switch to converting it to oil, but then we spent time into hand trimming and doing some other different things with it. So we just really believe that farmers in Indiana and really all states should have the opportunity to create any kind of product they want with their hemp. There's a higher dollar amount that you can get with going to that market versus, you know, selling to a processor if you weren't going to self-process and create your own brand, if you will. But for instance, you know, if you were to go to sell to a processor, you could be looking at $30 to $50 a pound versus selling into the wholesale craft hemp flower market. I'm just going to use large numbers because it's been pretty volatile, but maybe $300 to $500 a pound depending on your percentage and things. So there's a lot more money to be made for the farmer.
And to give a little background here, the plaintiffs were successful in a legal challenge against Indiana to that they were trying to make the hemp flower, they basically tried to criminalize it. So the challenge was to get it prohibited from being criminalized. But unfortunately, the state of Indiana appealed this decision to the Seventh Circuit Court. So now we're all waiting for an order sometime in the next few weeks. There's no certain date on this. But in your opinion, why is the state so adamant about fighting this?
I'm not really sure. To me, especially after the situation we're in now, post-COVID, it seems to me they need to look at this a little bit harder because there's a lot of revenue dollars that could be generate it to help with recovery. Whether it's maybe you never buy a craft hemp flower or even grow it, everybody's going to benefit from it in the community. So I think it's something that the state should really take a look at as far as generating those revenue dollars, putting money back into the community, because right now it is currently legal to sell, and we should just move forward with that. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there for everybody in the hemp industry and outside the hemp industry.
Well, it just seems so strange that they're picking the industry apart by picking this one item, the craft hemp flower, that would be illegal. So you have to wonder, is it an individual out there, or is it a group of people or a group of lawmakers? Do you have any idea who's really spearheading this, and why are they pushing this so adamantly?
From what I've looked into, I've talked to some of our local sheriffs even, it seems like they've had some issues defining whenever they were to find this product, differentiating that and marijuana. They do look the same. They can smell the same. But as far as I know, there's testing available in portable kits. So that really shouldn't be used against the litigation. But it seems like I've heard that has been a holdup. How are we going to regulate it? How are we going to know the difference? One thing that we've seen done at a local shop is, kind of using the open container law. So if somebody buys it in their shop, they're going to staple the receipt to it, time stamp. The customer, best practice now, maybe just take it home and don't open it until you get home. And that way you have a little bit of evidence, if you will, if you did get in that situation. So maybe that's a concern of theirs.
And again, you guys are looking at raising $10,000 to continue standing up to the craft flower industry. 100% of those funds donated will go directly to the litigation cost. Where did you come up with the $10,000 figure, and do you think that's going to be enough?
It's something that we've set a goal initially. We need to work towards. Hopefully we can get it by June. And then obviously if we keep going forward, maybe helping out Kentucky and surrounding states that need assistance, we can continue to raise funds and keep it going. So it's kind of a benchmark that would help with everything that's currently going on and kind of ease the funding or the money needed at the moment. And then hopefully we can just keep building from there.
All right. And again, we're speaking with Kelly Lenny. And Kelly, along with her husband Joe, are farmers in southern Indiana. Also, they founded the Friends of Craft Hemp Flower. And again, you guys are looking for donations to continue this fight. Where can they send, or where can they get more information about this?
Yes, so we have a Facebook page, Friends of Craft Hemp Flower. We're on Facebook, and then from there, you can also go directly to GoFundMe. Same name, Friends of Craft Hemp Flower. So either place, we're having on Facebook, you can watch out for, we're getting some product donations. So we're going to have some drawings, some free giveaways. Last night we did one. So just kind of watch out for that. We want to be able to give some people incentives when they donate and encourage those dollars to continue so we can help move this forward.
And once again, that's Friends of Craft Hemp Flower. And that's not that easy to say when you keep saying it and saying it and saying it. It's not that easy to put those words together. So, but again, we encourage folks to go out and support and help the industry there. Now, Kelly, let's talk a little bit about your growing season. You said you started small last year. You're expanding this year. Let's talk about hemp in general, some of the trials and tribulations you guys had as first-time farmers. We're going to have people coming in this year as first-time farmers. What kind of lessons did you learn that you really wish you knew going into last season?
Oh, gosh, that's probably a lot, but we'll keep it short. So the rain was not our friend. That was initial, but yeah, so a couple things. We really evaluated where we were growing. We noticed that we had too many shady spots, so we're actually going to move our grow this year to be more in direct sunlight. Mm-hmm. And outside of that, just, you know, kind of monitoring everything, making sure you're keeping the pests out. We really didn't have too many issues until we got into the fall when we were getting ready to harvest, and we had some army worms that got in there. You don't notice those almost until it's too late because they turned to bud brown. But just kind of watching your crop every day.
I'm sorry, those were called, those were army worms?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you deal with those?
Luckily, we didn't have too many. I've heard some different remedies that you can do for it, but really just kind of inspecting your plants, looking for them, and getting them out of there as quickly as possible. There's nothing really you can put on there that I'm aware of as far as like a pesticide, because I think there are some that have been you're able to use this year. We haven't looked too far into it, but maybe looking at some kind of remedy like that. But ladybugs were a big thing for us last year that were our helpers, and also praying mantises can be some good natural pest control that you can use.
And so, and these are, these, when you talk about these worms or some of the other problems you have to literally go through and hand pick those worms off the flowers. Is that correct? Off the buds?
Yeah. So we did everything by hand. We're very small. We didn't have any equipment. We do have a tractor we're going to use this year, but we were small last year. I mean, we did everything by hand. We ended up through the Midwest Hemp Council meeting our brand partner, Jubilee Wellness. She's going to come out to the field this year, Michelle Finn, and help us out. So, everything here is done by hand, and we know pretty much what we have going through the fields pretty regularly and grooming the fields. And just picking those bugs off as you see them if the ladybugs hadn't already got them.
You know, some of the problems we heard that folks had last year was they started too big. They planted too much because they didn't realize they had to go through and literally hand touch every plant and cultivate that sort of thing. Did you guys use seeds or clones?
We did clones.
Okay, and what was your decision on that? Why did you go with the clones instead of the seeds?
Primarily, since we work full time, for us, just going through the transplanting stages, you have to go through with the seed and kind of really monitor them. And then also, you don't know, it's almost like hatching chickens, so you don't know how many hens and roosters you have. You don't know how many female and male plants you have. There are some feminized seed out there, but as far as I've seen, it's not really 100%. You get a pretty good odds, but we just want to go with kind of a more guaranteed route, I guess, if you will, getting the clones that they're all female plants, and kind of having a little bit, skip a couple steps and stages you have to go through with the seeds. So we basically just picked up the clones, put them in the field as soon as possible, and everything was good going from there.
And you're expanding this year. By how much are you expanding, did you say?
Quite a little bit more than double. So last year we did a quarter acre, this year we're going to do an acre.
So you just had too much time on your hands last year that you thought you needed to fill this year. Is that where we're going with this?
I wish that was so. So we're going to do the minimum, and then, but it also worked out good because we've expanded from, Michelle goes to the New Albany Farmers Market locally, and we've expanded to the Madison Farmers Market. So we're going to tackle two farmers markets and kind of scale with the market. So it was a good move. Whether we would have doubled from last year, I think this is going to be a good move for us to go and do some different products.
Do you have any idea when those farmers markets will be opening? Are they already open for business?
Madison's already open. Okay. Joe went for the first last weekend, because we were self-quarantining, just kind of being precautious.
Sure.
They were doing shortened hours, 10 to 12. Michelle's going to be back May 23rd in New Albany.
Okay, fantastic. Once again, speaking with Kelly Linney, it's been a great conversation, Kelly. I really do appreciate you participating with us here. It's always great to talk to the farmers, the people that actually stick their hands in the dirt and get dirty and make the product that we can all then talk about. But it's got to start there in the dirt, so we really appreciate folks like you that have made that commitment, even the small commitment, which again, we've heard people that have expanded too quickly and started too big, so very smart there, probably to start smaller and work your way up so you know what you can handle. So anything else that we need to touch on here that we haven't hit?
I think that covers it, Jason.
All right. Well, once again, Kelly Linney, along with her husband, Joe, Southern Indiana. Hopefully we'll be able to get down there and spend some time with you folks, see the farm, see what you got going on, and talk with you again.
We look forward to it.
All right, as we continue on, we're going to speak with Jamie Campbell-Petty. Jamie is the executive director and co-founder of the Midwest Hemp Council. And, of course, like everybody's at home these days, most people have the kids yelling in the background. Not Jamie. She's got the red bones.
Yes, sorry about that. Trying to get to a quiet place is pretty difficult.
Oh, that's quite all right. When you live on a farm, it's kind of hard to get away from the critters and animals, and at least Guy's not back there yelling.
Exactly. Outside they headed, so we're good.
There we go. Not a problem whatsoever. So, Jamie, quite a few things we want to talk about today, so let's get to it so you can get back to the red bones. We've got the 2020 growing season coming up. Licenses have been approved. Folks are starting to grow. Spring is in the air. Tell us what's going on out there.
They have. There are a few more licenses available through the state chemist office, but we're getting close to the maximum amount. And more importantly, you know, we are now, as you stated, in planting season. I had several people here in the last couple of days picking up their Legacy Hemp X59 seed, and I think some farmers are going to be putting that in the ground very soon. And I know there's other, as far as the cannabinoid industry, I know clones and seeds are being ordered and picked up. So things are on the way. We're excited to be doing the 2020 research co-op again this year. And I don't have a lot that I'm prepared to share on that today other than we're excited. We have good people participating, including Vincent's, IU, and Purdue, and also in communications with some other state, out-of-state, multi-state universities. So hopefully here in a week or two, we can get back together and talk about some goals and some exciting things that we're going to do with the cooperative this year.
Well, Jamie, you mentioned the 2020 Hemp Cooperative. Tell people what that 2020 Hemp Cooperative is all about and what you guys do.
Well, so what we have done is we people who are willing to collaborate and work together and understand the benefit of that, because we're still really in research mode. Literally and, you know, figuratively. And so by bringing these folks together, we all are setting up methods of communication. We will have meetings. Obviously now they'll probably be online meetings. But we'll work together to get through this season on our grows. And then also we hope to have several different field days highlighting both fiber, grain, and cannabinoid. And highlight some of those that are doing specifically unique research or are businesses that want people to understand what they're doing. So we have a lot of opportunities, and we're looking forward to teaming with everyone. And Jason, we hope that you'll be part of that education process.
Well, there we go. Hopefully so. But, you know, when you talk about farmers and their occupation, it's not too difficult to social distance. But when you talk about an organization trying to get people together and trying to educate and move an industry forward, that's got to be a huge roadblock for you guys.
It's been it has been a challenge. But I think we've all learned a lot, learned about the opportunities to actually gather and communicate, you know, through the use of technology, which we are really appreciative of as Midwest Hemp Council, because we are spread out. Right now we have membership in 20 states. Now most of our members are in the Midwest, Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, you know, Indiana and her spoke states. We just had the Missouri Hemp Association and a Kansas grow group come on board with us. So by having, by doing these virtual networkings, it's great because we really get to know each other, and it's a lot different than having to either travel or do expensive conferences and that type of thing.
Oh, sure. Well, but I imagine it's going to be a problem here come summer when you do want to get these field days and things going on. Certainly going to have to recognize some different, different standards than normal.
Yes, absolutely. There's going to be distancing, and probably what I'm understanding is low numbers. So therefore, that's why I think a lot of what we'll do this summer will be video. We'll provide video and the ability to participate remotely. But, you know, we'll have to take that like everyone else is, a day at a time, and see how it goes.
So with some of these pending webinars coming up, we've got the Hump Day happenings, the Hemp in the Field, Grower Spotlight. So a lot of things you guys do have planned.
Yes, they are. We've been doing quite a few things, as has everyone else, and we're trying our best to share through our website and social media, as well as through your efforts on the podcast, what other people are doing so that all, you know, anyone in the hemp industry has access to so many different ways. And, you know, we were talking last night that in a way some people are on webinar overload, but it's better to, in my opinion, have more to choose from than less. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of what works with your schedule and what your specific focus is. But I can tell you myself that I have yet to set in on any webinar where I did not learn something or meet someone new that had information I didn't have. So for me, I have been very grateful for this opportunity. And of course, we're all able to do it from the comfort of our home, not traveling away from family. And so I, you know, I'm looking at the positive side of this and what we will learn and how we will learn to communicate and coordinate going forward.
Well, you know, it's a way to share the wisdom and intellect of Jamie Campbell Petty to the masses, as well as the Red Bones at home. You don't have to leave the Red Bones. I'm sure they're incredibly ecstatic about that.
Exactly. I think all of our pets are getting pretty, you know, even if they weren't spoiled before, they're terribly spoiled. But yeah, so they, but I'm, you know, I feel like we have done our best to keep in touch with our members, and I have encouraged our members to let us know how we can better communicate and bring them together. One of the things that we did do up until last week, we were doing a Tuesday and Thursday Midwest Hemp Council, you know, meet the member, mm-hmm. an hour, hour and a half, kind of a social thing, but we would have members introduce themselves. That went really well. I got a lot of great feedback on connections that were made. So we're going to do a little bit something similar starting next Thursday evening. It'll be 5:30 to 7, and we're going to call it Thirsty Thursday. That'll be our happy hour, and we encourage everyone to grab their favorite adult beverage and you know, let's do our virtual happy hour, and each week we'll have a special guest. And we're super excited because next Thursday, the leadership of Hemp Benchmark has agreed to join us for Thirsty Thursday. And that information will hit our website today and social media, and there'll be registration. Now, this is a members only. This is a Midwest Hemp Council members only, because there will be some membership, some benefits to our members and information specific to our members. But that information will go out today, and we just could not be more excited. Hemp Benchmarks is a go-to for all things data for the hemp industry. So this will be a good information session. And then on the 21st, our special guest will be Justin Swanson, and there will be the ability for people to submit questions regarding regulatory, legislative matters, and Justin will address those during his presentation on the 21st.
You mentioned a new membership platform, and that's with an automated membership situation, a lot of neat stuff coming there. What's going on with all that?
It is. We're frustrated. I'm sure our members have heard me talk about it for several months, but with the virus, all support pretty much shut down, and so our launch has been delayed. But soon, I won't say when now, but I'm hopefully in 2 weeks we're going to be going live. Mm-hmm. And during that, or once we're live, members will be able to go in and they will have their own profile that they can modify. They can put in as much information about themselves or their business as they would like. And there will be ways to opt in or out of being public or communicating. And then as we grow, we hope to have the newsletter available there. We will have information such as we've been asked to come up with a classified section where people can advertise equipment or advertise for employment or looking for employment that's hemp specific. So we're excited to be able to do that. I think members will get a lot of benefit out of this platform, and we will just have to ask for a little bit of patience for us to go live and then also for all of us to adjust once it is live. But in the long run, this is going to be very beneficial for all.
Well, that's awesome. Definitely looking forward to checking that out. Anything else, Jamie, before we let you go today?
Jason, I think that's it. I just encourage everyone to please, you know, stay tuned, tune in our podcast, and checking into the website once in a while, You know, for me, whether it's our website or even a couple other key websites that I know have current information like we do, I check those once a day. So I really encourage everyone, make sure to stop in and check, because you don't want to miss anything. And although we do try to mirror things on social media, there's a lot of things for our members that they're going to find on the website that maybe they won't find on social media. And for anyone who's not a member and interested in the member, you simply go to our website under the and the homepage. You can click right there on join us, and it's going to take you to explain the membership benefits currently and the two levels we have, which are Policy Circle member and Hemp Supporter. And we welcome you and want to make sure that we bring together people that are committed to raising up this industry. I will say real quickly, for our members as well, we have our monthly Policy Circle call that is on the second Tuesday of every month. So that will be on May 12th this month, always at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And our members will have links and information to that in their inbox.
All right, Jamie, as always, greatly appreciated. A lot of good information today. Definitely got a lot coming up, so a lot to look forward to there.
We do. We all, I think we're going to have a great summer, and, you know, we'll face these hurdles that we have with COVID and so forth, but I think we're going to have a great summer.
There we go.
Thank
well,
you, Jason.
Absolutely. And we'll take it a day at a time, and it's a beautiful day out there today. So, Jamie, we'll let you go enjoy it with the Red Bones and the family and down on the farm.
All right, Jason. Thanks.
All right. And that's going to do it for this week's program. Thanks for listening to the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. You can find more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as our entire catalog of podcasts, on the website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more. So long, everybody.